Well, in life, all that we want to experience is victory. No one would want to be defeated by his enemies. No one would ever want to be defeated by his enemy. You see, it doesn't matter what type of enemy might be, you wouldn't want to be overcome by your enemy. Even thoughts, sicknesses, these are enemies because they come, they abrupt your life. They cause you to despair, bring disability to you. And when life that God meant was to be a life of enjoyment, to enjoy him once and for all, forever, God didn't mean that we will have sicknesses and trouble, even death. So death came. We read in the Bible that came with one man. You see, that is, we read that in Romans 5 from verse 12. And also life came through one man, Jesus Christ himself. And so we see the history of Saul. I think Saul is disadvantaged somehow because he is read in the light of David, isn't it? But we shouldn't do that. So each person is unique. We may compare them. That is fine. But each person in the Bible is unique. Because God was dealing with his people. God is saving his people. God is keeping his covenant. He is dealing with situations using different people. And Saul himself, he was unique. Before we run into his disobedience, let us see God. So the history is about God. It's not about Saul. First Samuel is not about Saul. It's about God, the true king of his own people. God who has made covenant with his people. God who is always victorious. And all that he wants his people to know his victory. He wants his people to know his power and his blessings. That is what he wants. And that is why you would see that I said in the title of this small talk I want to bring to you briefly tonight is that humility before victory. Humility before victory. Even for Jesus to overcome his greatest enemy, the death itself, he had to humble himself first. We read that in Philippians chapter 2. Jesus came into this world. He humbled himself, though he was God. You see, but he emptied himself so that he can come and overcome and defeat his enemy, the enemy of his people, the enemy of his God, his father, Satan, who raised up himself to want to be equal with God. And just imagine if devil is equal with God, we will be suffering today, isn't it? But praise God that God is glorious. It's glorious. And those who come to him can know his victory. Even tonight, have you experienced a bit of victory tonight? Have you come out of your own thoughts, even as you were sitting and sharing and listening to different testimonies? Even just being together tonight, have you experienced a little bit of God's grace and presence and blessings? Why? Because we have humbled ourselves. We have departed from our own thoughts and looking to God. And being just simply saved by grace. If we have that, we maintain that attitude, we will be overcoming. Even as we heard a few weeks ago that the government have changed, no, well, look, God is on the throne, isn't it? We will need to be changing ourselves, not to be overwhelmed by the changing of the weathers and the governments and the situations. Even the atmosphere of our bodies, even our sicknesses will be healed. I'm becoming aware in the last few weeks and few months that most of our troubles is just because we have come under the evil one. The influence of certain inflicting things on our bodies that are not necessarily. Because we will experience that by the Holy Spirit. If it's something from God, we will know it. We will not resist it. Just I give you one text that I gave to our brother Alex, our Prime Minister of India. When those things came up, you remember when Isaiah was sent to Hezekiah, that text, you read that in 2 Chronicles, and also you can read that in Isaiah 37 up to 39. You see, he was told that, put your house in order, you are going to die. And this man, he is the only prophet, person who had challenged God in this way. He went into the house of God and he just faced his head to the wall and he wept bitterly and he challenged God. He said to him, I have served you faithfully. Who can dare to say to God that I have served you faithfully? And now I'm dying. He was childless and you know he has no successor to the throne. And then when Isaiah was going to go, the Lord spoke to him, go back to Hezekiah. Tell him that I have seen your tears, and you are not going to die. I add to your life 15 years. And during those 15 years, he had a son who succeeded him. Victory comes after humility, or humility before victory. And that is what the people of Israel hear, because now though they have sinned against God by asking for a king, rejecting their true king. But God, you remember, 1 Samuel is not about Samuel, even it's not about the people of God. It's about God himself and the covenant he has made with his people, raising them up, bringing them to himself. Because in this agreement, in this covenant, let us not think that it is a covenant between two parties. Two equal parties is a covenant between a loving God who has brought us into a covenant with him to know him, our creator, our God, our Messiah, our rescuer, our God. And so he sovereignly looks after his covenant, the covenant he has made with his own people. Even his people were making great mistakes and departing from him, but he was faithful. He will not deny his character. So this is what happens. Even when people just ask for a king, even though they were told that this is not good for you, you are going to suffer and to struggle, yet no, they insisted. So what happened? If I go back to Samuel 7, we see that in Samuel 7, Samuel calls a national meeting at Mizpah, the site of Israel's humble repentance and victory. You see, so this place, we read that in chapter 7, verse 5 to 17. So when these people, they wanted a king, and also they were preparing for that, these people, they wanted to go to God and to repent. So the verse 2 of chapter 7 says, it was a long time, 20 years in all, the Ark of the Covenant was not with them. And so these people, they wanted the presence of God into their midst. And so what they did, they wanted, they repented. They want to come to God. And so Samuel told them, they went to Samuel, verse 3, and Samuel said to the whole house of Israel, if you are returning to the Lord with all your heart, then rid yourself of the foreign gods and the Ashtaroths and commit yourself to the Lord and serve him only, and he will deliver you out of the hands of Philistines. So God commanded them to humble themselves so that they can experience the victory. We read that. And so the Israelites, they did that. You see, they repented of their sins. So they mourned. This is showing repentance. So I call it repentance divine. So if you don't mourn over your sin and then seeking God, so that is not a repentance. And so now also repentance is followed by really getting rid of what is standing on the way. You see, to show, to demonstrate your returning and your repentance. So just like to leave your thoughts, your own thoughts. You see, it's a repentance. And to press on to God and to say, I'm wrong. And so I just don't want to look into this. I was sharing with the young people in the past when we were returning to God. We were even throwing our clothes that we were wearing once before we came to the Lord. It had to be radical. And no, not to go to the places we once used to go. You see, not to read the very book that we used to read, throw them away. And we were showing our repentance by our actions. You see, everything out. You see, and then you start afresh. Even some people want to change their furniture and glasses in the kitchen and so forth to show that I'm a brand new person. It's starting anew. And first of all, the most things that will change, your friends. your friends. They will change once and for all. You can't just have them close to your heart when they are keeping their idols. God is going to give you brand new friends who will be one with you in the spirit, isn't it? That is the Paul letters always. You see, Paul always writing, like in my last few sermons, he was writing to the Colossians and he said to them, though I am absent, you see, though I am absent with you, from you in body, I am present with you in spirit. He is in jail, you see, over there. And yet he was with them. Because how? How can he be with these people? He knew that they will be on the same page, to raise by the power of the blood of Jesus, crowning him their Lord and their Master alone, filled with the Holy Spirit, destined for glory. He is one with them in his spirit. And they want to stand against their false teachers. They want to stand together against what is not of the gospel. The gospel which brought them life, brought them into union with Jesus Christ himself. And so this is how the repentance is shown. And these people, they have shown this. And it is out of God's grace. God is traveling with these people. Like with us. If God has to stop because we have sinned against him, so we will be lost. But always when we show repentance and returning and mourning and seeking after him, we find him. Because he says that if you will find me, if you seek me with all of your heart. I was just coughing through the night last night. I didn't have a really good night. But I was going through his scriptures. This is there. And everything was like saying, turn to God and cast all your burdens. And God will not fail those who come to him. That kept coming. You see, and I think somehow it just strengthened me to the morning. And then somehow I was not coughing any longer. And I didn't want to apologize for coming to church. Yeah, so really here, these people, they returned. They assembled at Mizpah. I wanted to talk briefly about Mizpah. Mizpah as a place where they come together. So Mizpah. Mizpah was located in the tribe of Benjamin, from which Saul is taken from. Benjamin. Just actually our people, near people, they think they are part of the lost tribe of Israel, and that is part of Benjamin, and they are Benjamites. They think like that because they can fight like 63 tribes. Like that was what really foolishly they did. Yeah, so they were warriors. So that is the place, and it's 8 miles north of Jerusalem. And this place is hosting the assembly of these people, and also is going to host another assembly in chapter 10. We will just read off from verse 17. You see, it's a place to go to remind them that if they truly return to God, God will meet them. It's a place that, and I was just thinking as I was preparing, I said, why we come to church? Why we come to church? The Holy Spirit lives in us. We have Bibles. You see, why coming to church? Why bothering to come to church? Well, because the church is the place that is destined for us to come and repent and find God as corporate, as a people, as a body of Christ. It's just something God, in his grace, he has done this. Just imagine, when you go to another country, the first thing, if you are a Christian, you think of a church, isn't it? To find the body of Christ. That is how God sovereignly has designed it. And so that is why a person like me coming to Australia was thinking, first of all, so he says, where to go? And so where you go, you need to believe that God has led you to that place. And so you are not sitting here today by mistake. God has planned it all because he has something for you to hear, to build you up, not to tear you down, to encourage you, to give you hope, and to perfect you by his love and by his truth. And the fellowship of the believers, those who recognize that, they have no other place to go. Only to glory in the God of the whole universe and in Christ Jesus, whose name is above all other names. There is no one like Jesus. There is no one like him. The one who has brought us into the kingdom of God. The one who has forgiven us all our sins and declared us righteous. Not to see judgment. Not to go to hell, The hell is a real place, and many people are going there. My son Noah, he struggles a lot with the idea, why, Dad, he keeps asking me, why, Dad, Jesus died when he was doing everything good, you see, when he hasn't done anything wrong, you see. I was always telling him the same thing. I said, look, Jesus died because we were doing the wrong things. He died in our place so that we will not be condemned and go to hell. And I'm praying that the Holy Spirit will make it real to him. Yeah, you see, because you got this concept of if you are doing everything good, nothing bad can happen to you. Wow. So this place is the place where the people of God will come. And always God will perform, will make his presence known in the midst of his people. And the place became an important city in early Israel. It was an appropriate location for national confession. We see that in verse 6, in chapter 7, in verse 6, when people came together, they repented, Samuel 7, 6. When they had assembled at Mizpah, they drew water and poured it out before the Lord. So the pouring of water before the Lord symbolized the washing away of the guilt of the whole people of Israel. And so when we come together in a place that God has destined and we proclaim the name of Jesus, we declare that Jesus Christ has taken our place and took our sins on him. It's just like these people, they just symbolize this. They pour out the water on the friend, on the floor. And so their guilt was removed. So if Israel confession in this way was a vital part and also is of their life, and also is one of the themes of the two books of Samuel. So tonight, what I want to just finish with, I couldn't just go on with the other things. Just I was so reminded of the importance of humility leading up to the victory. Even Saul himself, as he was going to do bad things, but he himself also, he humbled himself. Do you think Saul just came out of blue? Saul was a member of the people of Israel. He's a man who knows how to worship God himself. He's a man who went with the people there because even he didn't know that he was going to be the king. You see, that is a man, people demanded this. And God also, as a punishment to his people, he gave them this. And he gave them this king. Not because he could have helped Saul all the way through. But he chose not to do that. And also, we know also that we ourselves, we need, if we humble ourselves once, we need to keep humbling ourselves because we can drift also. Saul. It's funny that they share the same name with Apostle Paul, isn't it? Saul. Yeah, well, look, this is what happened. So these people, they went and they repented. Although God was angry because of the demand of his people, he still was committed to the covenant he has cut. He has cut with his people. The covenant he has made with his people. And so we just want to know that the human king will always be a human king. And actually, God reminded his people that this is what the king is going to do for you. He said, you need the best king. But as you demand this, okay, I will do this for you. And there are consequences for this, but also he will not withdraw. And that is why his spirit was not withheld. Samuel summoned, verse 17 of chapter 10. So I just want to go briefly, quickly. Samuel summoned the people of Israel to the Lord at Mizpah and said to them, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. I brought Israel. He reminded them of what he has done from Egypt. And he said, from the power. Not only he brought them out of Egypt and delivered them only brought them out, but he delivered them also from the power of Egypt. You see, the place and also the tyranny. You see, but you have now rejected your God who saves you. See, something really can just humble a people. Because that is what we tend to do always. We forget about his forgiveness, Christ's forgiveness. We always do this. And we run our own things, making big ideas. So one of our problems is just like really we have great ideas that are not of God. Isn't it? And they make us weak, us strong. See? But if we abandon our own ideas and just cling to God, his power will reign and his grace will be sufficient for us. And so this God is this language. He was just like, now set the king over us. So now present yourself. And then so God is going to raise these people. And so the way to do that is bring all the tribes. And then the Lord fell on Saul. And Saul, he himself, he ran away and he hid himself. No wonder why he was going to be a bad king somehow. Even the call of God. His heart was changed earlier, isn't it? As he was leaving Samuel. You see, as he was leaving Samuel, in chapter 10, verse 9, God touched his heart, and even the Spirit came upon him. Why he was surprised that God cannot make him a king. Something that worked against him, and no wonder why he went and he drifted. So we need to value the call of God in our lives. And when he calls us, we need to surrender ourselves to him and not to run and hide. We tend to hide. We think are tough and hard. Perhaps this man is just, though he was tall, but he was aware that he didn't have the resources to do that. And every time he needed God to come powerful upon him, even the last things we read, that when his people were going to be subjected to this, to their enemies, you see, and when he heard that, that was from God. And his heart really torn him because the people of God to be humiliated. You see, the people of God to be humiliated. That was just so bad. Just a simple thing, you see. I think I shared this one day and say, prepare yourself like it is again in Egypt. So I was visiting from here and I went to just to photocopy, really thing from a printing shop. And it was just like this lovely Egyptian girl with her cross there, just serving. And there were these funny Sudanese boys, you see. I was Sudanese, and then I was just coming. Oh, it was like, oh, my heart, and things like that. They were like, try really. And I said, get out from here. We have only one heart here. It's the heart of Christ, you see. I solidarity with this young Christian girl who is my sister. I haven't met her, so she printed things, and she thought that was, I said, God bless you. So just keep doing that things. So we need solidarity. You see, so Saul himself, when he heard that the Ammonites were demanding really to subdue God's people, that was God's heart, isn't it? God wouldn't want to give his people to be humiliated. You see, the Spirit of God came upon Saul, you see, and he called, and God gave him grace in the eyes of the whole Israel. He humbled himself, isn't it? So he humbled himself. And he offered to God. And he acknowledged that their victory will only come from God. And they marched and the people of God, they were waiting for that. So also again, just expect that God also can prepare rescue for you from outside. We don't have to rescue ourselves, isn't it? We don't have even to solve all of our problems. God always will use other Christians, believers. And you see, even to bless you, see, but you will not be blessed if you refuse to humble yourself as to receive the blessings of God. You see, because humility before victory, blessings before victory, humility before blessings. So this is required. So that I don't have time to go to the New Testament. You see, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. You see that we are called. And then it's only those who humble themselves who can resist the devil. And that is why Saul himself with his people were able, after they have humbled themselves before the mighty hand of God, they defeated their enemies who were going to subject them to their tyranny and to defeat them and to make them his slaves when they were a people chosen by God to be a royal diadem in his hand. Through whom the kings will come, and you the believers, you are kings and priests to God. You are king and queens, you see, because of Jesus. Humility comes before victory. And if we refuse this way, we have nullified the truth and we have elevated and lifted up human tradition that will never save us. Let us humble ourselves before our God and let us depart from our own ideas and thoughts and just embrace His thought, Him alone. We will see Him bringing us out of troubles, you see, and to stand on a solid ground and to proclaim His glory in this land that seemed to be departing from God. We will be established and we will stand tall and strong and proclaim the goodness of God and even have some miracles. So the time of miracles is not finished. God can perform miracles. And one of the miracles is the fact that I'm standing here today glorifying God after a night that was so terrible, maybe 2 hours of sleep. But God is so good. So let us humble ourselves and seek Him. You will hear more of this on Sunday morning. Let us pray together.